Bring me to the King.
Praise God.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
Take me to the King. Take me to.
I pray that this CD has been a blessing to your life. And all I can say to you in making this CD is that my life will never be the same.
We are in hopes that you enjoyed our pastor's message today and were truly blessed. If you would like a copy of today's message, please call 337-238-0314 or visit our website at www.churchofjesuschristhop.org. Praise be to God for our co-founder, Pastor Annie Mulberry. Be blessed in Jesus' name until we meet again this same time next week.
Say, Tim, yo, you're my hero. How you doing? How you stay strong? Let them all know there's so much that I've been through.
Thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer, located in Leesville, Louisiana, the place where the Spirit and anointing, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, abides in abundance. The Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer is located at 1100 Nona Street at the intersection of Nona and Verone. And now, to our Bishop with an anointing sermon already in progress, Bishop Tommy Morris.
What you gain from all your strength is just the freedom to know that you are blessed. I'm good. Good enough to handle my bills. Good enough to raise my kids. Best is the best, and honestly, I'm happy for where.
Thank you, Lord God. How many happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many are happy for what God brought you through this week? Amen. How God has kept you all week long. Brought you through the storms. Brought you through your trials. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Woke you up this morning. Started you on your right back. Provided for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Father, we're thankful right now. He's worthy of all the praise. Every opportunity, amen, that we can, we ought to give God praise. Amen. Come on and put your hand together for Christ Jesus. Come on and put your hand together for Christ Jesus. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the praise. You can give God more praise than that. He's done more for you than that. Amen. Amen. God has been a provider for you. He's been a healer. He's been a healer for you. He's been a provider. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Truly giving honor to him tonight. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. King of all kings. Lord of all lords. Amen. Thanking God tonight. Amen. For being in this house once again. Amen. On the day that he set aside and made holy. The Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Amen. Truly we're grateful. Amen. We're grateful tonight, amen, for all things. Because of him, amen, we even exist, amen. It's nothing that we do of ourselves, amen, but it's because of Christ Jesus. Because the blood that he shed for us, amen, we have an opportunity, amen, to live in the name of Jesus Christ. Give him another hand clap of praise, everybody. Thanking God, amen. For the founder of this great organization, the Emeritus Honorable Bishop Mulberry, our co-founder right by his side all these years. Amen. Our national mother and pastor, Marbury, amen. Pastor Andy Marbury, we thank God for them both. Amen, for establishing the foundation of what this ministry is today, amen. Amen, they have done well their part. Amen, we are to continue and carry it over, amen. I truly thank God, amen, for our associate, Pastor Mosey. Elder McKinley, amen. Prophetess Shepherd, ministers, missionaries, deacons, brothers and sisters. Give these young men a hand clap of praise. And young lady, amen. Young musicians doing great things. Amen. I wouldn't dare to go any further, amen, without thanking the person who helps me in more ways than you can ever imagine. Amen. She's the mother of my children. Amen. She's a wonderful helpmeet. She's loving and kind, and she truly cares about the ministry. She cares about people in general. And I'm truly blessed beyond measures, amen, to be the lucky one to be her husband. I thank God for Prophetess Morris, amen, my wife. Thank God for my children. Thank God for my children, amen. We're blessed tonight to have with us visiting, amen, the brother Carlos Mims, amen. Amen, he's a guest of brother Trey, amen, and a member of New Willow. And we thank God for you being with us tonight, amen. We know as a young man, amen, there's a lot of things going on a Friday night. But we're thankful and blessed to have you here with us. And for that, we'll forever thank you. And you're welcome here beyond measures. At this time, you have any words, we'll take them at this time. You have anything you want to say? You got anything to say? They're glad to be here. Amen. Give them a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Amen. I don't claim to be before you long. As I always say, amen, I don't want to give you anything that is me. Amen. I have sought God, and I have been before him in the weirdest times. Sometimes I have to drive away in my car and park under a tree. But this is what he's given me. And I will say to you, amen, that when he's done, I am done. I'm learning how to balance a lot of things that take place in my life every day. But I know when it comes time to getting before God's people, that the time with him is mandatory. And I find the weirdest times and so forth, but I make sure I don't stand before you as me. That I stand before you is what God has given me to give to you. Amen? Is that all right? There was a golfer one time that was playing very bad golf. Very bad. And he thought that if he go see a psychiatrist, that it would help him out. The psychiatrist told him, amen, to relax and play around the golf without the ball. Without the ball, amen. Do everything you would do normally, amen, but imagine the ball. Play without the ball. Use the ball as an imaginary figure. So the next day, the golfer goes out and try to play a round of golf without the ball. He stepped on the first tee, knocks the ball down range, drive is down range, 268 yards, straight dead center par. The next hit, knocked it right in, amen, for a birdie. He said, I'm playing pretty well, this imaginary golf. I think I should listen to the psychiatrist more often. So the game went on and went on, and throughout the holes of golf that he was playing, he got to the 18th hole. As he approached the 18th hole, he ran into another person that was playing imaginary golf. He had seen the same psychiatrist. Both of them was having a bad day of golf. So they decided that they would play the last hole together. But they put a little wager on it for the outcome of the game. So they decided they want to bet $10 on the game. So the first golfer, and then he gets up, hits the ball down range, straight line down the middle of the fairway, 268 yards again. Second golfer gets up there, same thing. He repeated it. He did the exact same thing. His mine went 268 yards also. So the first guy gets back up. His time is back up. He hit the ball again, straight in the hole. And he go to bragging to the second golfer. Look at that. What do you think about that? I made the first second shot. I made it. Ain't no way you can beat that. Give me my $10. Second golfer said, I don't think so. You hit my ball. It's all fun and games, and somebody might catch that after a while. It's all fun and games until reality sits in. What started out to be just a friendly game of golf, although it was imaginary in their mind, when it came down to what really mattered, both of them felt that they was right. And we come a time in our lives, amen, when we have to face reality. There come a times that we're going to have to face some giants in our lives. There come a time, amen, when we just have to overcome adversity. There's going to become a time we have to get over people talking about you. There come a time when you got to get over people backbiting you, people jealous and envy of you, just because you're trying to serve God to the best of your ability. This is not imaginary. This is reality. Reality is not a game, and it's not fun when you have to face it. It's not fun at all when you have to face it. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Our text will be coming from 1 Samuel tonight, amen, the 17th chapter. And if I had a topic for tonight, and the reason I'm using Samuel, amen, because it was given to me, David, and we have to overcome some giants in our lives. Amen. So if I had a topic for tonight, it would simply be overcoming giants when you're facing reality. Overcoming giants, amen, when you are facing reality. Now, 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter is a pretty long chapter, so we're going to skip and hop a little bit as I'm going to ask that Elder McKinley read for me. Amen. Is that all right? 1 Samuel, 17th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The word of God reads.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle.
Uh-huh.
And were gathered together at Shochah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Ezkab.
Mm-hmm.
And Ephraim, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah.
Uh-huh.
And set them battle in array against the Philistines.
Uh-huh. Now watch this. Third verse. Come on.
And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side.
The Philistines stood on one side. Come on.
And Israel stood on a mountain on the other side.
And the Israelites stood on the other side. Come on.
And there was a valley between.
The word said it was a valley in between them. You have two armies standing on a mountaintop on each side of a valley. Amen. Come on.
And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines.
The Philistines had a big old champion. Come on. What was this champion?
Named Goliath.
Goliath.
Of Gath.
Mm-hmm.
Whose height was 6 cubits and a span.
Now, a cubic was about 25 inches. Amen. And a span was about 10 inches, which means Goliath was a little over 13 foot 4 inches tall. Come on.
And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail.
Uh-huh. Now, the coat of mail was linen that had these steel plates that was woven into the material. Amen. That's what it was. Come on.
And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass.
In other words, about 194 pounds was this piece of equipment. Come on.
And he had greaves of brass upon his legs.
Mm-hmm.
And a target of brass between his shoulders.
Come on.
And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam.
So he had leather on his legs. He had leathers all. He had leather, and he had these metal plates all over him. He was armed to a T. Not only was he a giant, amen, but he was armed very well. Come on.
And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron.
Now, that's a lot. Come on.
And one bearing a shield went before him.
Uh-huh.
And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel.
Uh-huh. Read down to the 11th verse. Come on.
When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Yes.
Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse.
Yes.
And he had 8 sons.
Yes.
And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul.
Uh-huh.
And the 3 elder sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And the names of his 3 sons went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah.
All right, stop right there. Now, if we know in Samuel, the first in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, amen, was where Samuel went to Jesse's house to anoint the new king of Israel. Am I right? And Jesse started with the oldest son because he was the oldest, for one. Second, he was the strongest, and he was the biggest. And said, that's not the one. And he went through all the sons, amen, and David was one that wasn't even considered a man at the time. Am I right about it? The system seems to be upside down for one reason. He wasn't chosen king, talking about the oldest son now. Instead, the youngest brother was, the kid who was not even in the lineup. So there's no doubt in my mind at that point, man, that the oldest brother, because sometime older brothers, man, I'm the oldest, might have felt a little rejection. And that's one of the things we have to overcome in life sometime, amen, is rejection. Rejection. In 1858, the Illinois legislator sent Stephen Douglas to the Senate versus Abraham Lincoln. Although Abraham Lincoln, and this is a true story, although Abraham Lincoln won the popular vote, it did just start in 2016. Although Abraham Lincoln won the popular vote, they still sent Stephen Douglas into the Senate. And when Abraham Lincoln was asked how he feel about it, amen, he said, I feel like a kid that has stomped his big toe. I'm too big to cry about it, but I'm too hurt to laugh. And sometimes that's where we are. We try, we cover things up inside. And man, we don't want people to know what's going on with us sometimes. We don't want to let people know that that things is going on in their lives. We might have been feeling a little rejected because of something taking place in our lives. And we try to cover it up. And we feel like we're too big to cry about it, but I'm too hurt to laugh about it. I'm too big to complain to you about it because I get over it. But I'm being torn up inside. And a lot of times, the outside of a person can appear to be everything is okay. But until you take a moment and find out and take the opportunity and time to really find out what's going on with a person, you never know how they're feeling. And you just never know the things that you might say that day could have been the difference between life and death at that particular moment. We're covered with things in our lives that sometimes people never know about. And we can't wait sometime to get to church, or we just can't wait for someone to come by just to encourage us, because sometimes we don't know how to reach out for help, or we're too ashamed to reach out for help, or we just don't want to reach out for help, or I just don't know which way to go, or we try to settle things in our own selves, not realizing that we are what the problem is in the first place. Not necessarily saying it's a problem, but the thing that's going on is happening with you. You can't see a lot of things that other people are able to see. That's going on in your life. Read a little more. I want to get to this David part. Come on.
And David was the youngest.
Uh-huh.
And the 3 elders followed Saul.
Uh-huh.
But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days.
Uh-huh. Now, Goliath was taunting him. He was taunting the Israelites. Amen. He was, look, ain't nobody bigger than me. I'm 13'4". I'm a big man. I'm a giant. Him and his brothers. These were the last of the giants. By the fact, David took care of these last of these giants. People of this size anyway. Giants today is 7 foot. You ain't have no 13 foot people today. Okay, David took care of all that. Okay. So he had been taunting them for 40 days. It's something about 40. It's something about 40. 40 days he talked. 40, it's something about 40. Amen. But he had been taunting them all along. Who you got to come fight me? He goes, that's good enough. He goes on in the word to say, okay, what we'll do is whoever you send out here to fight me, we're going to fight. If that person win, we're going to serve you. But if I win, guess what? You're going to serve us. Now, David was a little teenage fella, little scrawny guy. And the reason I brought out these numbers, the size and how much this stuff weighed, because that stuff weighed more than David, his whole body did, that this giant had on. But he went into battle with the Philistine. He was not even in the army. He was delivering supplies. He was taking stuff to his brother. He was taking the porch wheat and stuff to his brother and these 10 cheeses. He was taking stuff out to battle. But also he was there to get a report as to what was taking place. Now you had these two armies on each side of the mountain. He was to go through the valley and to find out what was going on. He had to go to the front lines to deliver the goods. He had to lead the sheep and go to the front lines to deliver the goods. Well, while in the front lines, he wanted to know what was going on, so he sought out the leader there, and he saluted him. Make sure that he's handed off the supplies and everybody had what they're supposed to have. But he didn't like this, what this giant was doing. He didn't like the fact that he was taunting. Everybody had been taunting for 40 days, and that all of Israel was scared and afraid. Sometimes we face things in our life that would seem to be too big for us. And we're afraid to challenge it, and we're afraid to tackle it. But as long as you got God on your side, you can defeat every obstacle in front of you. You can defeat everything that's going on in your life that you feel like giving up. As long as you put God first in your life and allow him to lead you, guide you in all directions that you should take, you shall be okay. There's no devil in hell. There's no giant big enough to defeat you. God will see you through. You just got to believe, trust in God, and know that the equipment that he's gave you will work. Amen. It doesn't matter about your size. It doesn't matter the enemy you're about to face. Yes, but God is with you. Yes, Lord. And if he's with you and for you, who can be against you? Who can defeat you? Who can cause you to fail? What giant can you not overcome? What army can you not defeat? David, the little teenage boy, didn't like this. And he heard them speaking like this, amen. And he burned with anger. He burned with anger. He didn't like it. He didn't like what was going on. And sometimes we have to just face what's going on and deal with the root of what's going on with us. In the book of Hebrews, amen, the 12th chapter, the 15th verse, it describes bitterness as a root. It describes bitterness as a root. And you know that a root, in order for anything to prosper and anything to grow, it has to catch what? Root. It has to have root. Root grows underground, sitting right beneath the surface, siphoning out all the nutrients of the ground. Whenever you see a plant or a flower or a tree, you can be sure just below the surface, amen, that there's a root there. Without the root, everything will collapse and die. We got to understand what our root is. The root of our salvation is Christ Jesus. Our comforter, the root of our comforting, it's Christ Jesus. The root of our healing is through Christ Jesus. The root of our understanding is through Christ Jesus. The root of overcoming, amen, is through Christ Jesus. The root of all things, amen, is through Christ Jesus. The root of bitterness would never produce healthy fruit. If you're never able to face your giants that's going on in your life, it'll always have control over you. Just like the Israelites was afraid, but they were only afraid because of Goliath's size and because he was taunting them. That's the same thing bullies do. A bully is nothing but someone who was beat up on when they were little.
Now they don't got around somebody they think they can control. They want to return the same thing. A bully only targets those that he feel or she feels that they can overcome. But I'm telling you, my grandfather told me one time, they keep messing with you, you go out to the woodpile. And on your way to school, you go out to the woodpile and you find your piece of help. Piece of help was a stick, a log. And you walk on to school and you hide it over in the bushes, right where they start messing with you at every day. And you go and do like Goliath did, you taunt them and make them follow you to where you put that piece of help. And when you get to that piece of help, you dot over in the wood line and take it out and then wear it down to a toothpick on the side of the head. That's how you overcome that giant. The thing about that is you have to tackle things head on. Whenever something or something, you ever notice, you know, and I use a dog, for example. That's the best thing I can use. A dog, when a dog find out that you fear him, he going to mess with you every time he see you. I don't care if you feed him. I don't care if you feed the little dog. When he find out that you're scared of him, every time he see you, he's going to make you break your neck to get away from him. Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But the scripture goes on to tell us, amen, that David, amen, was going to be the one that's going to have to come before this giant. Amen. He's the one that's going to come before this giant, and he's going to be the one to defeat him. So he was armed with his own slingshot and 5 smooth stones. And Goliath was telling David, you the one? You the one supposed to take on me? Don't you realize who I am? I'm the champion of the Philistines. I'm the champion. So David went on, David wasn't scared. He said, basically what he told him was, I don't kill the lion and a bear. And you next. Pretty much what he was telling them. That's what it says in the scripture. He had killed a lion and a bear. So it goes on, they're going to fight, amen. And David, you know, all this armor that Goliath has on, David was able to land a rock right dead in the middle of his forehead where he wasn't protected. And you have to realize sometimes the things that are tackling you or approaching you, it has a weak spot. It has a place that it can be touched also. But you have to touch it through Christ Jesus. David said, the only thing that I need is the equipment that I have in Christ Jesus. God saw me through with the lion. He saw me through with the bear. And he will see me through with you. So David takes this rock and he launches it into the head, amen, of the Philistine, of this big giant. Down falls Goliath. Now David, the scripture goes on to say that he didn't have no spear in his hand. He didn't have no equipment in his hand. So he ran up to him, stood up on him, and drew out his own weapon. This big heavy weapon that probably was heavier than he was, he drew his own sword, Goliath's own sword, and cut his head off with his own equipment and took the head back. And when all these Philistines, the one that was taunting the Israelites for all this time, the one when they seen this, guess what they did? They fled. They took off and broke camp. Just like you got to wear somebody out with a piece of help, when he seen that David took care of the giant, amen, they fled. You have to be the same way with things in your life. When things seem to be overcoming you, you got to tackle it head on. But you got to have God in front of you when you do it. You can't do it on your own. You got to let God be in front of you in everything that you do. When David volunteered to fight Goliath, King Saul told him, you're not able. Saul even thought that he wasn't able, thought he was too small. He went on to explain to David that he was no match with Goliath because he had been a warrior from his birth. He'd been fighting all along. All this time he's been fighting. He's a warrior. You're too little, you're too small. You weren't even considered in the matchup. You're not even part of the army. Only thing you do is deliver supplies and come back here and take care of these sheep. That's your only job. But no, David had trust in God. He said, all I need is my God with me. And you can have the same way tonight, amen. As long as you got God with you. When David was failed to be persuaded not to fight, Saul attempted to cover him with his equipment. Look, try this. Put this on. Take this armor. David said, no, I don't need that. I just need Christ Jesus and what I